Great. Good morning. Nice to see you all. Great. My name's Jude. I think I know everyone, but good to see you all. So we're in this sermon series on 1 Timothy, as Beth has said already, learning and leading. And it's from this Apostle Paul writing to Timothy. And he's writing about discipleship, about what it means to follow Jesus. He's writing about leadership, what it means to exercise our influence in the world. And it's kind of, we're kind of looking at 1 Timothy and 2 Timothy, and the sermon series is going to go all the way up to our weekend away in March. Yeah, exciting, isn't it? Exciting. So learning and leading, following Jesus and exercising influence in the world. Those are the big themes for us. And that feels like a good time to introduce our weekend away. Feel good about that? Yeah, come on. So, Beth, if you could hand out a few brochures, could I nab one as well? All right, thank you. So, lots going on in our service today. Sorry for the flurry of information. But I'd love everyone to take one of these booklets today, if you could. And I would love us all, I would love the whole church, everybody who is a member at St. James, to come on our weekend away. The 22nd to the 24th of March, if I've got those dates right. All the information is in the booklet. We're going to have Chris Rogers, a little shout out for Chris Rogers, yeah, with us who spoke at What Now, and also Katie, who did our children's work 2 years ago. In fact, the last two weekends away, I think she's done it. She's amazing. And so we're putting these themes together, learning and leading, following Jesus, exercising our influence for that. And I would love to say as well that if money is a reason, an issue for anybody at all, well, there's bursaries available, come and chat to me or Ed. We'd love everybody to be able to come on the weekends away. It's going to be awesome. So let's have that in our minds as we kind of go through this series, that we're working on these themes, and we'll have a chance to kind of do even more detail as we go away together. So in our preach today, we've heard these qualifications for deacons and for overseers in the church. But more generally, I would love to talk about finding, as Beth has said, finding our sense of purpose in life, exploring our vocation, our sense of calling before God. And with reference to this passage, I'd love to think about how godliness is at the heart of that calling, and how the gospel makes it possible. Before we get into it, you'll have noticed that there seems to be an emphasis on male overseers and deacons in our text. Anyone pick that up? Emphasis on male overseers and deacons. We'll talk about faithful to their wives. Get that bit? He comes up a lot. He must manage his family well. Well, if you want to know why Paul has got such a focus on male leaders within Ephesus, why the particular context of Ephesus meant that at this time, in this place, that women weren't expressing the same role in leadership as they were in other places within the early church. If you've got questions about that, then you need to listen to Ed's preach from last week. A little shout out for Ed's preach from last week. Who was here last week? Yeah. Ed did all the hard work on the context of the letter, and really, just brought all that to life for us. So in fact, should we just recognise Ed's hard graft as he prepared that for us last week? Little recognition of thanks. It's a great sermon. Go back and have a little nose at that if you didn't catch it. So finding our sense of purpose in the world. I think we've got a little on screen, Becky B. I know you're kind of nodding off back there, mate, but if you fancy... No. finding our purpose. So as John Lars said a couple of weeks ago, we have kind of layers, don't we, of our kind of sense of calling and purpose before God. It kind of comes in layers a bit. And at first, we're called into relationship with God and with each other. To love God with all our heart, mind, strength, and soul, to receive the love God has for us, and to share that love with others around us, to love our neighbour. We're called to relationship. But there's a bit more to our purpose before God, because as human beings, of course, we've been given, we've been invited into this big commission by God to look after the world in which we live. It goes right back to the Genesis, beginning of Genesis chapter 1, when mankind is given authority over the world and asked to guard it and steward it and help shape the world. It's all part of God's bigger plan for humanity. I love Psalm 8. It gets picked up in some of the words of Psalm 8. What is mankind, God, that you are mindful of them? Human beings, that you care for them. You've made them a little lower than the angels. You crown them, us, with glory and honor. And you've made them rulers over the work of your hands. And you put everything under their feet. And in the picture of the Garden of Eden, again, you get this picture of man being invited to tend and care and steward for God's world. And I think good language, it's language we use a bit here at St. James, is the language of blessing. In a sense, human beings everywhere have been called to be a blessing to creation. It's part of our big purpose in the world, to be a blessing to the rest of creation. There we go. Look at that. A kind of semicircle inside another semicircle. Humanity, humankind being called to be a blessing to creation. But as well as that, God's people have been set apart, haven't we? God's people have always been set apart to be a blessing to the rest of humanity. In Genesis chapter 12, some of you are familiar with these verses, God calls Abraham to himself. And he says, go from your country, from your people, your father's household. I'll make you a great nation. I'm going to bless you. I'll make your name great and you will be a blessing. I'll bless those who bless you, curse those who curse you, but all peoples on earth will be blessed through you. God's people called to be a blessing. And then when Jesus comes, Jesus takes that covenant promise into himself. All people are blessed through him, through his work of salvation, of deliverance, calling humanity back to God. And for us as his followers, we're kind of caught up into that, aren't we? We're meant to be a blessing. We share, in a sense, the call to be a blessing to the rest of humanity, to share that good news. To see the captive set free, to see recovery of sight given to the blind, to be God's hands and feet in the world. Acts chapter 1 is in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. It includes all that stuff that that Helen and Sarah were talking about. You know, yes, of course, it's about sharing our faith and sharing the particulars of the gospel, but it's being that good news, people of good news. Enabling the world to become the world as it should be. Yeah, seeking the good of everyone, being those instruments of grace and peace and love and justice in the world. That's what we're called to. So yeah, God's people, a blessing, called to be a blessing to the rest of humanity. All of humanity called to be a blessing to creation. So it's called the widening circle of blessing. But then in the both in the Old Testament and in the New Testament, we see another group of people within the kind of people of God who are set apart to be a blessing to the rest of God's people. These are spiritual leaders, but servant leaders are set apart to bless God's people. We've used this language before, haven't we? But a sense of almost being demoted. You know, as servant leaders, leaders within the church, you almost demote it to serve others, to help the rest of the church, to be the church, to be everything that the church is called to be. Here they are in the text, deacons and overseers and church leaders, and here they are amongst us as well. Shall we have a look around? Shall we just recognize our the servant leaders amongst us? If you're on the PCC or the strategy group, why don't you just stand? Let's just recognise some of these folks. Very, very good. Very good. If you lead a small group, if you lead, say, an alpha group or a link group or a purpose group, if you guys could stay standing, please, Charles. No, come on, no hiding. If you're a student mentor, if you could stand up as well, that would be amazing. Mentoring tomorrow night, if students don't miss out on that. If you lead any of the children's groups, why don't you stand as well? If you're involved in leading in the children's groups on a Sunday, if you serve in the band, if you're on the sound team, if you could stand as well. If you're part of the logistics team at the back, Hannah Davies, come on your feet there, girl. If you are an intern on the staff team, if you serve on any rota at all in the life of the church, name and shame now, get ready. you are, in a sense, a servant leader within our community. Should we just recognise these folks and recognise one another? Woo! servant leaders called to enable the church to be the church. And I know sometimes it's costly, folks. I know when you're on that rota third week in a row. But it is service for others to enable the church to be the church. So, reminder, we're all human beings. We've all got this responsibility to be a blessing to creation. If we're Christians, then we're called to be a blessing to the rest of humanity. And for those of us called into some kind of servant leadership, we have a responsibility to be a blessing to the church. That's almost the kind of the big economy of God. You know, we locate ourselves, we find ourselves in that big picture, and we make sense of our sense of calling and purpose in that. Does that make sense? Is that helpful? There's other angles into it as well, but I think that's a goodie. I've certainly found it very helpful. And when we pray, in a sense, when we say, God, may your kingdom come, in a sense, God looks back to us and says, well, go on, join in, let's do it. Yeah, that's the movement of God, which we find ourselves in. So now we've done that big picture, this wider context of leadership or influence, if you like. We can now look at these qualifications for overseers and deacons. And we can see how far short Ed and I and others fall when we look at this list in front of us. So should we have a little look? Let's have a little look. So chapter 3, verse 1. Here's a trustworthy saying. Whoever aspires to be an overseer desires a noble task. A noble task. I like the sound of that. A noble task. Overseer here could mean bishop. Bishop Jude. What do you think? Got a nice ring to it? You know, Bishop Jude. Or it could be translated vicar or minister or reverend. I love getting letters addressed to the Reverend Jude Padfield. I kind of feel like, yeah, thank you. You know, really. So let's see what character qualities we find. Unfortunately, humility is missing from this list, but we'll go through it. So above reproach, faithful, temperate, self-controlled, respectable. Back pocket, you think? I'm getting direct. Wow, this is amazing. Okay, back pocket it is. Probably start whacking it. Oh, that'd be it. Great. So, goodness. The respectable. That was the one, wasn't it? Respectable. respectable. Yeah, I think doing okay on that first little list. Maybe room for improvement, perhaps. But okay. What does it say next? No drunkenness. Only very occasionally. Gentle, not quarrelsome, not a lover of money. A bit of room for improvement there, perhaps too. What have we got? Manage his own family. Manage his family well. His children, verse 4, children obey him. Might skip over that one. we're there on that one. We're there. We understand. They don't understand. We understand. what does it say? He must not be a recent convert. Well, Christian for 20 years, I'm okay with that one. A good reputation with outsiders. One or two people don't like me, but mostly they do. Mostly, what do you think? 6 out of 10? 6.5? Something like that. Doing okay. What about the deacons? Let's have a think about this. That's overseers. What do we do with deacons? Yeah, so a leader in Andreas. You're a leader. You lead God at work, don't you? Andreas, you can be our token deacon. Let's just have a little look at the list. So reading from verse 8, what have we got here? Worthy of respect. Kind of tick. Give you that one. Worthy of respect, not too bad. Sincere. Someone who's a bit too honest, I find, but tick. Okay, sincere. Not indulging in much wine. Well, beer's your thing, isn't it? So tick. Yeah. No wine. He prefers his beer. What else have we got? Not pursuing dishonest gain. Not pursuing dishonest gain. Well, you're not going to get rich working for City Hearts, mate. Oh, yeah. So I think, good. We can tick on that one. Keeping hold of the deep truths of the faith. Well, you're always teaching me stuff as well. So I think we can tick. We can tick these. What do you think? What do you think for Andreas? 8? 8.5? Yeah, pretty good. I'll give you that one. Pretty good. So there's lots of reasons why Paul draws attention to these particular qualities. And they're a good checklist to be accountable on, brother. And they're a good checklist to, as we as people think about inviting people into leadership within the church, they could list to kind of reflect on. It's not right that everybody leads. So they're a good list for that. But at their heart, I think these qualities point to one central, more vital quality at the heart, I think God would want of every person, every Christian leader, every Christian person exercising influence. And Paul draws attention to that, I think, at the final section of our text. If we just skim down a fraction, verse 16. In fact, do you know what? Halfway through verse 14. I'm writing to you these instructions, all this stuff about how leaders should behave, what they should be like. I'm writing to you these instructions so that if I'm delayed, you'll know how people ought to conduct themselves in God's household, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and foundation of the truth. Beyond all question, the mystery from which true godliness springs is great. And he goes on. What I think we're talking about here, what Paul's talking about here, is godliness. Godliness, becoming like God, becoming more like Jesus, the character of the leader, of the person of influence. It's godliness that Paul has got in mind. That almost as we are invited into forms of leadership, there's a sense in which people should be able to see the Holy Spirit transforming us and making us more like Jesus. People should see, well, we're on that journey. Does that make sense? Yeah. Well, let's take another example. Jerome, why don't you come and join me out here, brother? Come on out. So a way of thinking about this, So, so God welcomes everybody, doesn't he? Even Jerome. God welcomes everybody. And it's amazing that God welcomes everyone. God welcomes us as we are. He pours his love and his acceptance out over us. That is God's amazing welcome
Thank
to
you,
us.
Lord.
It's beautiful, isn't it? It's beautiful. But it doesn't stop like that, does it? You know, as we begin to follow Jesus, God kind of puts his arm around us and he kind of says, look, you know, I love you just as you are. But the future... Put the camera away. Now is not the time. But the future is going to be different from the past. Yeah, we actually met up, and Jerome's preaching next week. He's going to get his own back on me next week. Don't worry about that. But the future is going to be different than the past. Actually, Jerome, you are going to be changed as we go on this journey. Jesus says to us, as we go on this journey together, you are going to change.
Amen.
And the future is going to be different. Even though I accept you as you are. Yeah? That's the movement that God's calling us into, becoming who we truly are. In fact, the beauty of it is that as we go on that journey, what God has in mind for us is Jerome becoming the real Jerome, the person that God the person God knows you, the person God speaks over you, the person God sees you as, Amen. Becoming your true self. It's beautiful. Thank you, Jerome.
Thank you.
You grab a seat. Should we give him a clap? Thank you, Jerome. Actually, I've got some more bits on here that I was going to say. But the beautiful, I mean, Jerome is off in September in 2019, next year. Jerome is off to Vicar Factory, to college, to train as an overseer or a deacon. Reverend Jerome. Bishop Jerome is coming. And in a sense, we, as his community, his family here, we should be able to see the evidence of the transformation that Jerome has been going on this journey, becoming more like God. You know, and it's true, isn't it, Jerome, that, you know, when you were a student, you know, sometimes there were issues with timing and, you know, Jerome would forget things sometimes, like the fact he was leading worship on a Sunday. happened. He used to get taxis everywhere because he was late. But actually, Jerome isn't late anymore. Jerome is actually early. He came around to see me this week. He was early. And Jerome has to get up at 6:30 every morning to go to work in a coffee shop in Crosby. You know, when Jerome got that job, my goodness, God has a sense of humor, Jerome. Jerome is not late anymore. He is early. Jerome has changed. No. Jerome has changed, and he's changing. And we celebrate, Jerome, with you, that change as God prepares you to exercise leadership and influence within his church. Amen? Amen. Come on. I remember back in 1998, I'd just been a Christian a short time, and I was did a little bit of work with London City Mission for a couple of weeks, and I went into this church and stayed behind for some prayer ministry at the end of the service. It's always good to get prayer ministry at the end of church. I've got a plug for that. But I stayed behind, got prayer ministry, and there was this little guy, who volunteered to pray for me. And I'd never seen him before or since in that particular church. A bit of a kind of wild one. He was just kind of prophesying over me and speaking all this stuff over me as we prayed. And I was kind of listening in to what he was saying. And it was amazing, actually. And some of those things have happened. And some of those are kind of maybe yet to be. He's praying for me. And then he kind of looks me in the eye. And he says, God has got three words for you to take from today. It's like really exciting. And one of the words he shared with me, he said, become more like Jesus. Be patient. Become more like Jesus. And then it will come to pass. Be patient. Become more like Jesus. And then it will come to pass. I think in a sense that's a word. It's a word for all of us, isn't it? Do you know what I mean? You know, God has a calling, a vocation for each of us continually that he's calling us into. But actually, perhaps at the center of that is this calling to be faithful, to become more like Jesus, to allow God to transform us. Be patient. Become more like Jesus. And then it will come to pass. Amen? Amen. Let's allow God. Today, let's be mindful. Let's be allowing God to do those changes within us. Finally, the gospel. Godliness starts in the gospel, in hearing it, understanding it, receiving it, responding to it. That is its root. Let's just reread that last little bit and the final bit of verse 16. Beyond all question, the mystery from which true godliness springs is great. There's a mystery from which true godliness springs, and Paul goes on to talk about Jesus. He appeared in the flesh, was vindicated by the Spirit, was seen by angels, was preached among the nations, was believed on in the world, was taken up in glory. The place where godliness comes from is the gospel. Not from human endeavor, although that's important. Not from the help of other people, although we need others around us. But godliness comes from the gospel, from looking, from staring, from being transformed by the wonder and the truth of the gospel. Something has happened, Paul is saying. Something has happened that changes everything. Appearing in the flesh, the life that Jesus lived. Being vindicated, his death and his resurrection. Seen by angels, preached among the nations, believed on in the world. Jesus, who's active by his Spirit in us, in all his people, right now. The world has changed. This is the reality we're invited into. And who was taken up in glory, ascended to the Father. This kind of wild truth that, you know, it takes a lifetime to get our heads around, and we still don't get there. But actually, there's a human being who is seated at the right hand of the Father right now. Isn't that just like the most crazy, cosmic, like earth-shattering truth? It's a human being ascended, seated at the right hand of the Father, ruling and reigning for all who would accept him. The kingdom of God, the rule of Jesus, breaking in. That's where we find ourselves. That's what we're invited into. This isn't just making the world a better place in and of itself. This is cosmic. This is everything. Jesus ascended to the Father. It's the truth on which we stand. It's the movement within which we locate ourselves. And there's Jerome and I chatted this week. You know, it's the truth from which we're so easily distracted. More on this next week, I think. Sorry, I'm not going to steal your sermon. But how easy to take our eyes off the gospel. And Paul's saying, remind us, come back in. Something has happened. Everything is different. One day we're going to see all of creation brought into submission to Jesus. And we're invited now to play our part. Come on, Lord. We want this. I want this. If the band could come up, that'd be great. Going to do a couple of things slightly different in our response now, but I want to create the space. Let's create the space to just respond to whatever God's doing and saying as I've been talking. So why don't we stand if you're comfortable? Why don't we stand? And you might find it helpful to close your eyes. I don't know. You might find it helpful just to close your eyes and be mindful, refresh yourself again with how God has been speaking. Take it down a little bit. And I'd love to just invite us to almost to look into the future. You know, to ask God, how can we serve you best? How can I join in most with this kingdom movement that is happening all around me? Humanity is a blessing to creation. The church, a blessing to humanity. People set apart to be a blessing to the church. God, speak to us now, we pray. Come, Lord, by your Spirit. Thank you, Lord. Thank you that you died for us. Thank you that you rose again to give us life. Thank you that you ascended. Thank you that that's the journey you're calling us on now, to be like you, to find ourselves in you. And for some of us, that might mean it might receive a word of affirmation. Keep going. Keep doing what you're doing. For some of us, there may be a word, something different. And actually, the future is going to look different from the present. Actually, God's wanting a better fit for your passions and your interests and your skills and the gifts that he's given you. I think I just wanted to, in this space, there's lots of ways we can respond, however you're comfortable. But if there's some of us here today who just have a sense of maybe that there's more, for us, then I'd love to invite you to come and join me at the front here, and we're gonna just kind of kneel, and we're gonna use this space to kind of kneel and press in prayer to what God might have for us. So you've got the space to do that. If you want to do that right now, come forward right now, or as the band play. I know from my journey, I remember hearing a vicar talk about how they were working in the city and they were really successful, and they could see their career just opening up in all sorts of exciting ways. And yet they knew in their heart it wasn't enough. It wasn't what was right for them. And they made the difficult choice to turn away from that, to pursue a different calling. And we're not all called to be vicars or to serve in the church, but sometimes God speaks and says, there's something else for you. And so as we come forward, for those who want to come forward, let's be open in our hearts to how God might speak. So if the band can lead us as we worship, and if that's a word for you, come forward and let's pray.